Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And we were not fulfilled with this week's movie.
I mean, not in the way, like, necessarily that I wanted to be. I mean, there was frosty beverage, you know, there was buttery popcorn.
We wanted to love it.
I mean, I think maybe this is, like, my fault, or maybe it's the fault of the first one for setting the bar so ridiculously high. Like,
by the way, this is for
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I think it kind of has that Jaws syndrome.
Yes.
Which, ironically enough, the first directed by Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell me, like, anything superior about any of the Jaws follow-ups, like, I would love to entertain those thoughts. Because I can't...
And it makes me say, there were Jaws follow-ups?
You got Jaws, but Jaws 2.
But wasn't there a Michael Caine in one of them?
Michael Caine is in Jaws the Revenge.
Oh, I see.
I forgot exactly what the quote was. Basically, he goes, I think when asked about that film, and he goes, oh, it's bloody rubbish. He goes, the film is terrible. He goes, the house it bought me is not. And I'm just like, all right, Michael Caine, I got you there.
Yeah, I wish I would get one of those roles. Yeah.
You want to roll in a Jaws sequel?
I want a role that buys me a really awesome house.
Okay, fair enough. I'll grant you that.
Because you and I are just waiting for Adam Sandler to call us. But
I mean, really, whomever. Like, I ain't getting picky.
We're available for Tarantino as well. Anyway, so here's what I liked about it. I like Chris
dinosaurs?
Pratt.
Dinosaurs?
Okay. And I like dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
And I like dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
I like dinosaurs. I like it. I like seeing blue.
I do want to call shenanigans on heavily promoting Jeff Goldblum in the lead up to this. He's in the Facebook, like, updates with it. I believe, like, he's pictured in some of, like, the Twitter feed.
Do you think he worked more than one day?
On the promotion, yes.
Yes.
I can't imagine, like, I don't even think they had him change suits. Mm-mm. For the scenes that he appears in. Like, and I am a tremendous Jeff Goldblum fan.
I love him.
Love the way the man talks. Like, I love the way the man dresses. I love everything about Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a religion based around Jeff Goldblum,
Goldblumism,
like, I would be a cardinal or something within that.
Yeah.
That religious.
All about it. Goldblumism.
He's in there for what has to amount to 8 minutes.
Okay,
like,
I'll go with that.
And I think I'm being generous, like, with that.
And I'm thinking, just from what I know of the making of film, he did his speech with two cameras, so he ran through it, let's say, twice. Let's say four times just to get another take.
I don't even think he was on the set a day. Like,
yeah, if that.
They were like, Jeff, can you come in after lunch? We've got a little bit. Chris has got to go get some lunch.
You don't even have to memorize it.
And the dinosaurs aren't real, so we don't have to give them lunch.
Dinosaurs.
And he was like, okay, like, and cut that puppy out in 40 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't expect to see him, like, running around and, like, you know, doing dinosaur things. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be The Lost World. Like, this was going to be Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard's movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I really. Like, you don't tempt me with Jeff Goldblum.
They did.
And then just give me, like, a little, like, slip of parsley of Goldblum on my plate.
And when did B.D. Wong start to morph into George Takei's delivery?
He's like George Takei if he was the villain in a James Bond movie.
Yes!
Like, and he's in the first one, like, did not call that. Like, I'm pretty good about calling what's about to happen in a movie. Like, my girlfriend hates sitting beside me in movies sometimes because I'll lean in and I'll be like, yeah, it's them. By the end of the movie, this, and this is going to happen, and it's going to reveal that it was her brother. And she's like, why do you do that? And I go, this is the first time I've seen it. I don't know that's going to happen. She
exactly.
She goes, when are you wrong? And I was like, guilty as charged.
So my children, because they watch CinemaSins so much, Anna Grace was having a fit.
You've raised them right. I love that sentence just started like that.
She was ripping the movie from the beginning, and she was so psyched to see it. And I didn't read any of the reviews. I saw one headline.
I purposely did not read the reviews because I knew that Jurassic World was not adored by critics.
And I loved it.
And I was just sitting there going, you know what? Like, you need to just check your head at the door, Adam. Like, quit overanalyzing. Like, I understand. Like, people have told me what it's like to watch a movie with me. Like, and I understand what you said. It was Anna Grace.
Yeah.
I understand, like, what it is, because I will. I'm like, but that doesn't. In Star Trek Beyond, at one point they go, the main deflector dish has been destroyed. And then I hear Captain Kirk go, like, tell them to engage into warp. And I'm like, wait. If the main deflector dish is destroyed, any kind of space debris that you hit while moving at the speed. And then I just shut it off because, like, I wanted to complain to everyone in the theater.
But they don't seem to care.
But they were going to tell me to shut up.
Idiots.
So I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, man. She was. Her biggest problem was the fact, the size of the dinosaurs. Because in some shots, they appeared to be the size of, let's say, Rockefeller Center. And then in the next shot, they seem to
they
be like...
They can be contained in these... Yeah. Not small cages.
When is a T-Rex in a teeny tiny cage?
Well, in the first one, like, you could... He was standing on top of cars. Like, he was pushing over, like unelectrified fence. Like, yeah.
And it was a nice surprise to have Buffalo Bill / Captain Stottlemyre be in it. But,
man,
if it just said, it puts on the lotion.
Wow. Just what a I'm not going to ruin anything that he does in the movie, but he makes one of these stupidest.
Yes!
Just like stupid like a teenager in Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Stupid.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I want to watch one horror movie or somewhere that people get chased, that everybody makes the correct decisions. They're all, like, actively trying to stay alive, but somehow they all die. So I'm not just sitting there going, you moron, you deserve that.
Yep.
Again, I won't tell you what he did. You'll know when you see it. But, oh my goodness.
And Jenna called it.
Stupidest Marlboro man ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, because you don't know the scene, she's going to me, faking it. I'm like, I love that you already thought that. But it's, yeah.
Like, I'm doing my best not to ruin that scene. But
I don't really think there's a lot to ruin in the movie. Here's the story of Fallen Kingdom.
They Xeroxed the Lost World and added an auction scene at the end.
And added a little girl who is forced to speak with a British accent?
Well, here's the deal. I think everyone should be forced to speak with a British accent. I don't know if that's a movement or if anybody else supports that, but I do.
Yeah.
I prefer British accents.
Apparently, getting into a dumbwaiter protects you from all manner of dinosaurs, but elevators do not.
I will grant that. But I think that was actually an homage to the original Jurassic Park when Lexi is trying to pull.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shots in this that I think were trying to nod to the original superior good Jurassic. The reason why we all go see these the films with the word Jurassic in the title.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I felt this missed a lot, it felt choppy, and I didn't get a lot of clever stuff that, even if it had been what it was, I thought there'd be more just cleverness.
Now, I did like the inclusion of Zefram Cochrane.
Yes.
Or James Cromwell,
yeah.
as he is known.
Yeah, whatever. That'll do, Pig. That guy.
Whom I have actually gotten to meet before. Like, shook his... Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So now, not only have I touched Star Trek, I have also touched The Green Mile and now Jurassic Park.
Wow. That is awesome.
I liked his inclusion. I liked the backstory that they were threading through there with him and John Hammond kind of being like estranged, but they were kind of they were the fathers of Jurassic Park. Like, I hate that relationship can't be expanded on more with John for obvious reasons.
However, you can live in this huge castle in California,
I guess,
and have most of it blow up, and yet the front part be totally untouched by any damage or fire.
Well, maybe it's flame retardant brick, or
I don't know,
Victorian witchcraft. I don't know, elven magic. Okay. It's elven magic.
And I'm not going to say this is a spoiler.
Wait. Yeah. Let me. Yeah. So you.
Elven magic.
You can accept that it doesn't burn down, but resurrecting an animal that's been dead for 65 million years.
I got no problem with that.
You're straight with that. My suspension of disbelief. Boom. Oh, wait. Why didn't that burn? Yeah. Why didn't that burn?
And I liked it that they had.
Get Spielberg
cane.
On a phone.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
They had the cane, the original cane.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
Was
there was
nice.
A lot of. Yeah.
But,
maybe you should quit reminding me of a much better film. And that's what a lot of those homages were doing mm-hmm. to me. I was just going, oh, there's John's, like, the top of his cane from, oh, man, that the original was really good.
That's
what it just, I kept feeling like I was like, ooh, raptors are smart.
We knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
And so, you know, this is... Is it because I've seen too many of these when they start saying, and this dinosaur does this, this, and this? It's like, okay, what? So now it's going to be this,
me,
this,
you're
and this.
Giving me exposition. Like, there is no waste. Like, there's a lot of fat on this movie. I'm not like, you could have trimmed this puppy down. There's not a whole lot of lean meat on it. But when they talk about stuff like that, like, you don't have Jeff Goldblum or Christopher Lloyd, the masters. Of, like, just exposition mm-hmm. and, like, narrative necessity. And you don't even know they're doing it. That's how good they are. Mm-hmm. Whereas in everybody in this movie, basically, like, you need to have, like, something you can click on so you can see the scene later that it's going to apply to.
Mm-hmm. Everything. And it was just so obvious. And I'm going to say it really was that obvious, not just because my children picked it up, because they're, you know, unusual. I think virtually anyone would pick it up because it hits you over the head with it.
I would also argue that anybody stupid enough to make a park out of dinosaurs, as they did with Jurassic World, after the catastrophic failure that was Jurassic Park. Like, mm-hmm. I think it had like 117% fatality rate or mm-hmm. something like that. And then the incident on Site B. And Jurassic Park 3. And they're just like, you know what? No, we got the bugs worked out of this thing. Okay. We're good. We're gonna do Jurassic World. It's bigger. And the dinosaurs aren't gonna eat people. Oh, they ate them. Oh my goodness, they ate them. All right. I know that we should not have genetically bred a T-Rex and a raptor together with a shotgun or something. Do you think we should do that again?
And why do they worry about the pterodactyls? They can fly off the island.
They're murder birds.
Like, yeah. And then they show them like pelicans. It's like, no.
I'm like, that thing is not... Do you not remember what they did in the last movie? They were dive bombing people and then just like eating them, like just stabbing their beaks into their bodies.
That was fun. And the guy who plays Nick... On that girl's Marlo Thomas. It's New Girl.
Okay, yes.
That guy. He was in Jurassic World. I expected more of that. Just sly commentary that was fun. Like he wore an original Jurassic Park shirt, and he was a really fun part of that movie.
I was not a tremendous fan of Jurassic World. I will not lie to you, but by comparison, its sequel. Makes the first film seem subtle and almost nuanced.
Yeah. This is
It's a case of them going, you know, it worked when we turned it up to 10 last time. What if we add more? Turn it up to 11. Like, on the island, I'm just curious. Who was it that was like, dinosaurs aren't dangerous enough anymore? You know what we need? A fire mountain. A fire mountain erupting mm-hmm. behind dinosaurs. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, oh my goodness. Like, wait, guys, like, what? Man. Holy cow.
There's an auction inside the indestructible castle.
It's like Wayne Manor for auctioning illegal, terrible, like, bastards of like the genetic world because
mm-hmm.
it's got like a sub level and it's got like all the like it's evil Wayne Manor.
Yeah,
essentially.
That's exactly what I thought when they went down there. It's like, oh, it's a bat cave that no one else knows about but this guy. And so they auction stuff off, and Just right. And then the people from all the other countries are going to take these animals to weaponize them. And yet there's this one I'm going to call the dog-like dinosaur that was played for comedic effect.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that. It was like a giant parrot that acted like a bulldog.
I don't know if it's the inexperience of the person they had directing this time, but like the film, like it almost seems like it changes genres midway through.
And then, of course, it's set up for a sequel.
Well, no film today is satisfied with having a story like be contained, having a first act, a second act, and a third act. Close that act out. Let the credits roll. Like within a 2 hour, or let's even be generous and say a 2.5 hour time.
Sure.
If you are not setting up four other movies these days, like you didn't do your job.
Mm-hmm. But you've seen the best parts of this movie in the trailer. Honest to God, you have. And it is a really cool shot to see this gymongous whatever behind the surfers. But let's make this real.
But you also have a preview for a movie that seems to be doing the exact same thing before Dredd. Like what is The Meg? The Mag?
The Meg. Yeah. Yes, The Meg looks
which is not a spinoff
hilarious.
Of Family Guy as not, I wanted
I would
it
watch
to
that.
Be.
The Meg is about, it's a megalodon. And it looks like it's a step above Sharknado. But it knows that it's goofing on these. It's not an open parody, but I got the sense that I will laugh at it.
Yeah, it understood what it was.
Unlike Jaws, that is a
pretty
suspenseful
serious.
Film.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like the to bring up Jaws and Jurassic Park, these are just masterclasses in tension. Like I think there is all of like maybe 55 effect shots in the original Jurassic Park. I saw it whenever they re-released it in 3D, I want to say in like 2012, maybe 2013. Like digitally converted up to 4, just gorgeous, looked gorgeous. The movie still plays today. Mm-hmm. But like as I'm watching, like in my, and I think it's because a lot of it is left up to your mind. I remembered all of these scenes in the movie that didn't happen. Like in the same way that Hitchcock, like, got a higher rating because of Psycho, because there's like there's all that blood and stabbing in the shower scene in Psycho, and he's like, no, there's not.
Yeah, there's not.
There's not. Like it cuts away. You put that in there, and that's what Jurassic Park is.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't use its technology solely because the whole speech that Jeff Goldblum goes through, just because you had a thing, you didn't think like should we do it.
I know.
And that is exactly what Jurassic World is. Jurassic Park, like, the technology is there to support this story. And you have a master storyteller. And I'm not criticizing any of the other directors that have tried to follow these films up. A lot of them are genuinely talented people, but they're not Steven Spielberg. Like,
right.
Spielberg is like a hyper-realistic Alfred Hitchcock meets Robert Zemeckis. Like, and he's as talented as the two of them combined.
Yeah.
And that's really the only person that could ever make that movie. And even when Spielberg himself tried to come in and make a sequel to Jurassic Park.
Oh, it ticked me off so much.
I will grant you that The Lost World, Jurassic Park, is not as good as Jurassic Park. But I think it does not get a lot of respect simply because it's The Godfather 3.
Yeah, and because the book of The Lost World, Michael Crichton, the book was
radically
amazing.
And radically different from...
Yes.
Did feature Ian Malcolm.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
But in the book, the dinosaurs camouflaged themselves. And it was just as suspenseful as the raptors opening doors and just, you know... Oh, The Lost World really gets me because of that. And the product placement was just too Phillips 66 much. But
now the scene I will always point to when they're just like when the two T-Rexes get set off and they're rescuing the baby
in the Lost World.
Yeah, in the Lost World from
which is not the movie that we're reviewing.
What would you call that thing? It's kind of like a carrier. Like,
yes.
I don't know exactly what it is. They start pushing it off the side of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best Like again, it's just the tension. It's just taut with it. Like, I mean, you can cut it, like just cut the air with it. It is so.
Oh yeah, it had moments.
Like you can tell that Spielberg is definitely in there, but he had also just taken 4 years off from doing the back-to-back success of Schindler's List and Jurassic Park. Like, who does that in the same year?
Yeah, that's true. So here's the basic outline. You've got what seemed to be the solid relationship between the two main characters. They're not together because one or the other thought one or the other broke up with them. Stupid.
A lot of these movies have to undo the thing that they put together at the end of the previous film because they don't know how to build the relationship further, doing it in a naturalistic way. So they're just like, we got to reset this to zero.
All right.
Like the same reason why, like, you get the erasing Lois Lane's memory at the end of Superman 2. Like you have those that they reset the clock so that they can keep using that formula and do it as many times as it works in the sequels. And I think Jurassic World, while there are some creative, interesting elements in it, I think a lot of it is lazy sequel writing.
Oh, that's for sure.
And I mean, it's made, I don't know, $700 million worldwide. It made less than the first Jurassic World. But the first Jurassic World also had the benefit of the franchise being dormant for, what, 15 years?
And Chris Pratt coming right off of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And was it, had he done Lego Movie at that point, or was that after? I know he did those in really close succession.
I think it was before. I think Lego Movie was right before.
Like, he was hot.
Yeah.
Like, at that point.
Still is. Anyway.
Different hot. Different hot.
But the story is that the island, the volcano is going to blow up, and the island that they're all on, they can only save a few of them. The pandering of the death of the herbivore. It's just, seriously? Just...
I like a little subtlety in my movies, and like I should probably shouldn't go to the theater in the summer and expect it. But I mean, like, it just it basically gets a frying pan and tries to smack you with it. And it's like, you better cry for the Brachiosaurus.
Cry, it's gonna wobble one way. Ooh, it's early. And then everyone's looking at it. And then they say nothing. It's dying. And there's a lot of fog. Just, or smoke, or whatever. It really bugged me. It just flew all over me. And then, here's another issue. So let's say the island's going to become uninhabitable. You already have big sea creatures hanging around there.
Right.
I don't really know what happened in the first scene about something being a shut or not. I don't. It was dark, and there's a lot.
They opened up the gate or whatever.
Something. So,
and
the sea creatures are out.
The sea rex.
They're out. The flying ones are out. I'm sure some of them, you know, the little baby triceratops might be swimming somewhere. I don't know, but some of them could very easily have survived the volcano that destroyed the island. Just wanted to put that out there. But on top of it, this comes to the same question the first one brought, that Jeff Goldblum's character says, we know how to do it, but should we do it? So should we save these animals is what
that,
it comes down
that
to.
We interrupted the natural evolution of these creatures. Mm-hmm. Like, they were dead for several million years. We brought them back.
Yes. So here's the reality of that. Let's pretend that's all real. So you're going to allow, what are there, 8 dinosaurs?
I believe the final count they said they got off the island was like 11.
Okay, but then you got a few that are dead.
Sure.
Okay, so a handful of dinosaurs, you're going to let them...
A baker's dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to let them loose in Northern California, and no one is going to have an issue with that.
Or, like, just kill them.
Yeah.
You're telling me, like, the National Guard, like, the Marine, like, nobody can just go in. And I'm not saying, like, you just need to go in there and, like, murder all these animals.
No.
But we can't contain them. Like,
correct.
We can't zoo them.
I mean, maybe the little head-butting dog dinosaur, but Yeah, for the most part, for the good of mankind, no one is going to say, yeah, we have to let them free because they're alive.
Like, there's not a sanctuary we can take them to, like, literally.
Australia.
Anywhere. It was a penal colony at one point anyways. We'll just be like, guys, we're bringing it back.
I mean, they've got monstrously large bugs there. But seriously, that's what you're supposed to believe, and that's not even a question.
Well, again, if it was like 400, like, dinosaurs, like, okay, all right, 400 dinosaurs, I'll grant you that. Like,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of dinosaurs. But, like, I mean, we're not even, and again, I've never faced off one dinosaur, so take what I'm saying with a grain of salt.
True. We don't actually know what we're
talking
about.
It's 12, but there's, I don't know, 350 million people living in the United States, and you're telling me that, like, whoever is the president in the continuity of these movies wouldn't just, like, get in there and just be like, we cannot allow these dinosaurs to run rampant in Las Vegas.
They will eat our chowder.
They will eat our children. Like,
exactly. What? So it's just, it's not just suspension of disbelief, it is preposterous.
Like in the Lost World, they had a T-Rex running around.
Just the one.
And people were losing their ever-loving minds about it.
But, oh, we're going to have and what are the little things that go,
the compies?
Okay. They're everywhere.
Yep.
They're going to be
like the bugs in Men in Black.
Yeah.
In the sequel. He's going to be like, hey, the Wapa, what are you doing? And they're like, what, they can talk now?
Of course they can. So we had a lot of problems with this movie. I like seeing the dinosaurs. And the dinosaurs.
Which, I mean, genuinely, like, the kid in me that fell in love, was just enraptured with the first movie. That's what keeps me going back. Like, I still like seeing T-Rexes. Like, I still, seeing that, like, it's like the version of old Hollywood. Like, when you saw Paul Newman, like, in a movie. That's what the T-Rex or the Raptors, I think, are kind of, but in the parlance of, like, special effects.
Yeah. I love seeing them.
Like when in the original Jurassic World, when like the Indominus Rex is just throwing down and like the Raptors aren't going to be able to take him, and then Bryce Dallas Howard goes down to the paddock and gets out OG Rex. I was just like, I just closed my eye. I was just like,
it was heavenly.
Because I knew what she was doing. As soon as she popped open the flare, I was just like, oh, she's getting the Rex.
Yes!
Like, that was a beautiful moment.
But you see, in the first one, T-Rex is the bad guy. But in all the others, in this century, T-Rex becomes the good guy. And it's like, we're going to make a bad guy dinosaur now because we have to make a new one because we've already made this one a bad guy. So T-Rex keeps saving the day and saving the day.
It's kind of what eventually, like, Schwarzenegger in the Terminator films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Like in the first one, he's the unstoppable, like, murder bot. Like, he will not stop until you are dead. But in the second one, he's the good robot. Like, I think that eventually they kind of turned even the Raptor to a certain extent. Like,
oh, exactly.
Blue kind of being, almost having his own personality, like, or as much as you can.
Okay, I guess the part that I was not as annoyed with was seeing the training films of the young Raptors and Chris Pratt's character.
I could have watched that and explored a little bit more.
I could have pretended it was a documentary and just watched that.
If you have a talent like Chris Pratt, and, like, I mean, honestly, like, this guy is capable of, like, doing, like, he's got some serious comedy chops. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's a believable action star. And, like, I'm not saying you need to throw him something heavy, like, you know, Munich or something like that. But, like, you can give the guy something to act. He knows how to perform.
That's right.
And even in that instant, like, I guarantee he had a bunch of, like, tennis balls that he was acting against there. But those were some of the most engaging scenes in the movie.
Yeah, they really were. And yet, they're being played on a computer that the little girl is watching. She hears people. She goes and hides. It's still playing. They don't notice it. It wasn't playing when they left. And I'm like, where's the discovery? Why aren't they?
Continuity is not something this film labors under.
Like, no.
Okay, if you've seen X-Men 2. or like any of Bryan Singer's X-Men movies. The action in that is very deliberate. This tumbler has to fall into this place so that this thing can, like, everything that you see on the screen is informing you of something. And, like, a lot of action movies don't do that. And, like, I don't like to pick on him all the time, but we're going to. Michael Bay. Like, I don't think he cares what's going on in those movies. He's just like, guys, it has been 5 seconds since I've seen something blow up.
And blows up really
guys,
good.
I don't see, like, an incendiary something or napalm go into the air. I'm going to lose my mind. Okay?
I just imagine him at a backyard barbecue with his lighter fluid.
This burger's done, and they're like, Michael, burn the burgers again. The action in this film is not very, it's not strategic. Like I said, like,
no.
when Singer does an action scene, like I said, everything is very, very specific. Like, when this thing happens, you have to pay attention because he's going to cut away to this, because now this can happen. Like, the logic of the scene is very apparent. Whereas in this movie, it's...
It seemed like 10 minutes from off the coast of Costa Rica to Northern California.
Yeah.
From boats to, we're just going to drive up the driveway and we're here at the castle. What?
Did you not have to pass by, like, any, let's say a McDonald's or, you
nothing.
Know, a Lowe's or, you know, a Kroger or something? And people just like, well, oh my, they have large iguanas in the back of those trucks.
The movie is sadly disappointing. Now, I can't recommend that you pay actual money and take yourself to the theater to see it. However, when it's on TV, you can...
If you have the opportunity to Redbox it.
Yeah.
Or something, or like, if, I don't know, they're probably doing some kind of giveaway with cereal. Like, if you get 2 box tops or something, like, you get a ticket. Fine, do it that way. Like, you eat enough Cinnamon Toast Crunch to get yourself to Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Here, I did not come home and pre-order this movie on Amazon.
No.
And I'm not going to follow it on Roku.
The only way I will probably end up owning this film is, like, when they do the next... Jurassic Box, like, I got the 4K, like, Jurassic Park 25th anniversary, mm-hmm. whatever that was, and Jurassic World was in there, and Jurassic Park 3 was in there, and I mean, they were.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna watch them in 4K, but I have them,
mm-hmm.
and I have the digital versions of, like, the film that I will and have to this day, that continue to revisit, is the original Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the sequel, because it is just chocked full of, like, creamy, delicious Goldblum. Like, just it's a Twinkie with a Goldblum center. Like, it's not healthy like the original was for you. Like,
yeah.
It's not as good, but man, like, there's enough Goldblum and enough Spielberg in that movie that it offsets the things that it doesn't do as well
mm-hmm.
as the original did.
And Goldblum in the early Jurassics, he's rock star Goldblum. He's sexy black leather Goldblum, you know? He's
You know what else I love about him in the original Jurassic Park?
What?
Like, you've got Laura Dern arguing, like, with John Hammond about, like, well, what about, you know, men and women in dangerous situations? And she's just like, really, John? Jeff Goldblum is the one that has the open shirt,
uh-huh.
who is very... sexually displayed.
Yeah.
Like, sitting there. That nice little role reversal. Like, Laura Dern is more... She is the one that gets Jurassic Park back online. With help from, like, other mm-hmm. people. But she is the driving force in that. While Jeff Goldblum is the one that is, again, like, sitting back at the base, very provocatively.
I can see someone just lording over him with grapes, you know, by the way he's laying there.
Like, he is very Caligulian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Caligulian. Yes.
Yes.
Very much so. We really enjoy him.
Yes.
A lot. He should know that. I'll have to call him. Anyway, so, Fallen Kingdom, I'm not going to say hard pass. I'm just going to say pass.
If you're a completionist, like, and you just need to see dinosaurs,
yeah, I had to see it
on a huge screen. I mean, it goes, like, I'm not going to say, like, you're just going to be mad you did it, but you need to temper your expectation properly.
Right. Go in with zero expectations.
And, like, I mean, if you want to see big lizards stomping on things and humans screaming when they do it, mm-hmm. like, you will not be disappointed. Like, if you want to see a film, like, comparable to the first Jurassic Park, you're not going to. I mean, it's not even as good as Jurassic World. And, again, I wasn't even a huge fan of Jurassic World. I watched it. I saw it. I liked a lot of stuff that was going on there, but I was just like, all right.
And raptors chasing him on a motorcycle. How fun is that?
But I think he even references it. He's like,
yes.
Do you like danger? And he's like, I was riding through the jungle on my motorcycle with raptors at my back. And he's just like, we can't be friends. We don't like the same things.
That was one funny line. And the other one funny line was, as he's being sent away, as in the trailer, he turns to Bryce Dallas Howard and says, I just want you to know,
if
I don't
come
back,
you're the reason that I'm here.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
And I don't know because I wasn't there and I haven't read the script. I will almost guarantee you that's Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Like
they
just let him. They were like, okay, we got the take from the script. Chris, do you want to play around a little bit? Like, because I've seen the outtakes from Parks and Rec. Like, I can only imagine the hours worth of footage they've got from the Lego Movie. Like, or like the stuff that Disney looked at and just went, yeah, guys, Guardians of the Galaxy is not an R-rated comedy. You can't say any of that.
Now, what I would like to see is the outtakes from Guardians of the Galaxy and Lego and the two Chris Pratt Jurassics. I want that packaged for my viewing, just the outtakes.
And just for fun, because Disney owned a lot of what you just said. Let's throw in the Robin Williams outtakes from Aladdin.
Oh, yes.
Like, the stuff they were just like, they had to put their hands
Gilbert
on the
Godfrey
mic to cover
too.
It. And just going, Robin, at best, we can get a PG on this. The kids aren't going to get that joke. And I'm pretty sure the parents that aren't laughing at it are going to be offended at that. And he's going to be like, all right. Because I've watched this man live. There is no way he didn't slip up and have more than a couple curses or make several. And by several, I mean several hundred inappropriate jokes. They're like, just go back. Robin, let's go back to that when you're talking to Jafar. Please don't make inappropriate gestures or imply anything about Jafar like that. From the top. Okay, go.
Yeah, I would watch that.
And you know it's sitting in the Disney vault somewhere.
Yes, I think of that like I think of what's in Prince's vault. Just
holy cow.
I want Kevin Smith to be handed everything in Prince's vault and just feed it to me.
Let him do a podcast,
please,
about all of it.
If you enjoy Kevin Smith and Prince and, I don't know, laughing, that show that Kevin Smith does where he's talking about when Prince hired him to do a documentary on Prince.
It's almost as entertaining as the time Kevin Smith talked about Bruce Willis.
Yes!
Like, it goes...
And by the way, I have spoken to Kevin Smith in person. So, in a way, we're connected again.
If you don't know what the two of us are talking about, Kevin Smith was in Live Free or Die Hard as the Warlock, which eventually led to a conversation with Bruce Willis saying, hey, we should do a movie together. And they did a movie together that ended up being called, Cop Out. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Not a particularly, like, strong film in either of their filmographies, though Tracy Morgan, does have some bon mots, like, to throw in there. Kevin Smith's commentary about what happened during both of those movies is more entertaining than the fourth Die Hard and Cop Out. Like, seek it out. I think it's on one of the evenings with Kevin Smith,
I think. Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. Like, it's... I will preface it with saying this. Kevin Smith starts out loving Bruce Willis. By the end of it, he is not a fan of Bruce Willis.
Unfortunately. Because I feel the same way. And he started out loving Prince, and then he realized he's just a weird dude.
Well, I think he always knew that.
Yeah.
And they say don't meet your heroes, you know? So,
I have a close friend who spent 2 weeks at the, George Lucas's place, the ranch.
Right.
He said it really wasn't pleasant. Now, he does not say that it was as bad as the 2 weeks in the 80s he spent with Donald Trump. Because I heard about that long before he ran. And it's just as in Trump would not even speak to him at all. Much like Bill Cosby. Wouldn't even speak to him.
Well, in retrospect,
yeah,
that's probably best.
Yes. But George Lucas, I had such hopes. I was like, eh.
I can see that man would be unusual.
Yes.
Not in the Michael Jackson way that, like, Michael Jackson never had a normal life. Like, he was in the Jackson, like, how old was he when the Jackson 5
neither
was?
Neither did Shirley Temple.
I just listen. Like, broken clocks are right twice a day, Jane, okay? But, I mean, like, when you can walk into a room and just be like, can I leverage the things that I own to buy the Beatles catalog? And you can do it. Like, you don't understand what normal life is like. You don't understand about losing your job. Like, you don't understand about having to make a mortgage payment.
But he understands about losing his nose. So,
which is a problem that I'm going to say less than 1% of the population of the galaxy has.
Yeah. And we love Michael Jackson, but still.
Oh, yeah, the man's weird. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. Like, dancer, singer. I'm not commenting on that. I'm just saying, if you were to have a sit-down with that man, probably come out the other end just puzzled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we need to come up with a show that's just our thoughts on other things.
Or in the next Jurassic Park, they add Michael Jackson and Prince's DNA to dinosaurs.
The T-Rex moonwalking.
I'm just pointing. Like,
who wouldn't want to see that?
It's pretty preposterous as it is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, we can clone humans. Why don't we just talk, like, instead of the Indoraptor, we got the Jaxaraptor, or like we got the Princesaurus, or the Indo Princess.
The,
like,
Princesaurus.
I don't know. Well, no, wait, all the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park are girls. The Indo Princess. Like, there you go. I'm writing this thing as it goes.
I'd see that. Anyway, we both sat through Fallen World Kingdom, whatever.
Fallen World Kingdom.
Broken Hopes is what I'm calling it.
Jurassic Park Broken Hopes. I like that. That's appropriate.
So what are we seeing next? What's the next big one coming out?
It's either Tag or...
Yes.
I think it's Tag.
Yeah.
And then one of the Fallout Mission Impossible, and I don't... My brain is stopping.
Tag, I have read nothing about Tag. It looks entertaining and the kind of thing that would make me chortle.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are any dinosaurs in it, but I'm not expecting that, so...
Yeah. So there that will be.
Yeah, that's really all I need for it. So, anyway. Thank you so much. This is Parental Guidance Suggested, and the latest Jurassic Park film, World, we have to give a pass on.
I would agree.
We just do. Yeah.
I would agree.
Anyway, I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.